Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Well, our Faith Words Fall series continues. Our word, as spoken already, is the word encourage. Encourage. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. We heard it earlier. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other. Build each other up as you are doing. Well, by definition, the word encourage really contains two words. It contains the word in and the word courage, of course, N-E-N. But it comes from an old French word. And again, broken down, E-N would be I-N, which means into, as if you're pouring something of value into someone. That's the N part. And then the courage. That's an old French word actually from C-O-E-U-R. Coeur, coeur in French. And that actually means heart in French. So when we encourage someone, when encouragement is given, it's usually offered to someone whose heart has become discouraged. Something's been removed, diminished in their heart, and they need a new supply. And so this diminished heart is then replenished as we encourage. It's revived, it's renewed with a dose of some sort of element of support or love or peace, strength, maybe bravery, maybe some inspiration, some motivation to do something. So when you encourage someone, you are actually pouring into them, pouring courage, encourage. Encourage means to pour courage into the heart of another person. And I think you know plenty of examples of that, do you not? I mean, for example, there you go, or attaboy, attagirl. Hey, keep up the good work over there. I'm so proud of you. Hey, good job. Good job, well done. You did amazing back there. You're not sleeping. I'm behind you 100%. Hey, you are a champion in my book. Of course, these are just a few of a thousand different words, phrases, and ways that we can plant courage into the heart of people. Kind of to spur them on, help them to persevere. There's a substitute word that I'd like to offer for us this evening. And the word for encouragement that I'd like to give is actually a phrase. Just simply means to come alongside. Come alongside someone who needs to be encouraged. And you know, when we offer that kind of support and encouragement for someone who is diminished, I don't know about you, but you can almost many times see visually that they sort of perk up. Have you ever noticed that? Well, let me give you an example. Our grandson, Graham. There he is right there. That's with his little toy bison, all right? Anyway, he's at school, and some days he has great days at school, some days he has not so great days at school. You know, can you just imagine a hard day at preschool? Oh my goodness. So he wants to talk, and so he calls his dado, and he just needs a little bit of a pep talk. So one of the very first things that he says, what he used to say is, how many minutes do you have, dado? How many minutes? And so we talk about that, but these days, he's just accelerating. These days he says, are you available to talk, Dado? Oh my goodness, it's just so amazing. He's just growing up right before our eyes. But when he asks that question, so many times he's just kind of a little bit semi-slumped down. I think he anticipates a little bit the occasional times when I have to say, Graham, I'm sorry, I'm in a meeting, or I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. And when that happens, he usually slumps down even a little bit lower. But when I say that I'm available to talk, I can literally see his body rise from the ashes of despair. And he sort of makes a face, well, that would compete with the sun shining. Our Bible verse today says, therefore encourage one another and build up each other. Which means to pour into one another, to strengthen one another up, to raise up one another, especially if somebody is going through a hard time or is faltering. There's a story told about a basketball game that was going on between the Dallas Mavs and the Portland Trail Blazers. And there was this young lady that this happened actually about two decades ago, but it's still quite a popular story. This young lady by the name of Natalie Gilbert walked out to the center court. This was before the game, and she was going to sing the national anthem. And so she's 13 years old, and the nerves of being in front of thousands of people must have just really got to her. So in front of this sold-out crowd, she started to fumble through the words. And I'm sure, I gotta believe that there's probably some people who felt embarrassed for her, right? Maybe others who just kind of put their heads down in embarrassment for her. Maybe others who even snickered. There are probably still others that utter those four familiar words, "God bless her heart," right? Which actually translates as, "I'm so glad that's her and not me," right? Well, she was out there on this deserted island, isolated, all by herself. But all of a sudden, have no fear, because steps in right away is the Trailblazers head coach. His name was Maurice Cheeks at that time. And what does he do? He comes alongside of her. He puts his arm around her, and he gets her back on course and singing. And as he gets her back on course and singing, he motions for the whole congregation, right? For the whole arena to chime in what was supposed to be a solo, but is now being sung by 20,000 plus strong. "Oh, save us that star-spangled banner yet wave, for the land of the free and the home of the brave." You know, who cares in such a situation if the national anthem is sung off-key? If there's a person out there struggling, maybe going underwater for the third time, needs rescue. If the song being sounding perfect is at the expense of a person's heart, then maybe I need to have a come to Jesus conversation. Or if it's an employee who's not able to deliver on the job, and maybe she's emotionally split between aging parents who are struggling with dementia on one hand, and on the other hand, she has a high school child who's running with the wrong crowd. And if I think that the task at hand is more important than the person, maybe I need to have a powwow with Jesus. And what about, who cares if the dinner is ready, if the house is clean, and if the dishes are not styled? Oh, well, but they are. They are piled up to the top of the ceiling. It's all because your stay-at-home spouse is going through a season of depression. If I care more about the situation of the house and my own needs more than I do my spouse, maybe I do need to have that talk with the Lord. You see, the point of our Bible verse today is to be aware. To be aware of opportunities when people are going through maybe a little or even a large challenge in life. To be able to inject a dose of encouragement into their fainting hearts. Even when there may be things that still matter, they still matter and they need attention, but at the moment, other things just matter a little bit more. Called people. I attended a church meeting about 3 weeks ago. During the first half of the meeting, we got a lot of business taken care of. I want to tell you, I was checking it off my list. But in the midst of our agenda, there was some personal sharing that started to occur. And it had nothing to do with our agenda, nothing to do with our team business. But as I watched, as we were sitting around this round table, I started hearing the hurt and the pain. And others did as well. And they started offering some support. And this continued for about 15, 20 minutes. Well, we came close to the close of the meeting. And, this lady said, "We didn't do anything tonight. We at least got together and encouraged one another." At that particular moment, I realized that we had taken care of the most important business at hand. And it wasn't the church business. It was the encouragement of others. You know, it's when we come alongside others that we might just call it the ministry of encouragement. To encourage is to come alongside someone and lift them up, give a resurrection experience. And you know, the deep detail of the situation may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be spiritual, but there's a need for us to pour into others and us to be poured into as well. There's a story in the Bible about a very strong leader in the Old Testament. His name was Moses, and Moses did some amazing things. And so he was the leader of the Israelites. He was also the commander-in-chief of the army. And at this particular time, the Israelites, the folks, God's people, were battling a group of people called Amalekites. And it's a very interesting story that Moses, he was up on top of a hill, and he was overseeing the battle that was going on in the valley. And while he held his arms up, and this battle, I think, went on from morning till late afternoon or even evening, while he held his arms up, the Israelites were winning the battle. But, you know, his arms grew tired, and they fell to his side. And when his arms would fall to his side, the Amalekites would begin then to have the advantage. And so his arms would get rested then, and he noticed what was happening. He'd raise his arms up again. His troops would rally to fight, only to have those limbs again get tired and exhausted, slip by his side, and the enemy start to prevail. I'm sure Moses was worried. I'm sure he was frustrated. I'm sure he was disheartened and even weakened by the fact that he was insufficiently leading. He was going to be the cause for their fail. Well, in that moment, there were two warriors, one by the name of Aaron, the other by the name of Ur. And they noticed that he was struggling. And so they climbed to the top of the hill to encourage him. But get this. Not just verbally cheering him on like, hey, come on, you can do it. Hey, dig deeper. You're the man. Come on now. You got this. No, because he did not have this. But they encouraged him physically by coming alongside of him and helping him do what he could not do himself. They held his arms up until the Israelites won the battle. You see, to encourage is to come alongside someone with words, with actions, with facial expressions, maybe emails, texts, to assist people in the places of their heart where they're wrestling, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you can just raise that up in your own heart. But there's probably some of us here who here needs encouragement these days. Uplifted, to have our hearts strengthened. Maybe there's certain challenges that we're currently facing. And you yourself, and you may also then know other people, someone who you may need to come alongside and pour some oomph into. You know, for all of us, it's anything and everything from disappointments to depression to demons. Financial woes, failing marriages, family struggles, suicidal thoughts. Happens not just in our community, but in our congregation. People who struggle with being underemployed and struggle with infertility between a couple. Addictions and grief and hard decisions. Kids at risk. Persons who are looking for greater purpose in life. You know, I really think that's why many of us gather in this place as a church on a regular basis, or we listen online or on the radio, and that's to be encouraged. To be encouraged, and again, not just to keep it for ourselves, but to be encouragers as well. You know, that's a powerful part of the scripture. It's the very last part of that particular verse. It says, therefore, encourage one another, build up each other, as you are doing. It's assumed by Paul that we're not just receiving, but we're also giving. This past week, we had two funerals. Stella Foye shared about her, and the other was Butch Knopp. And Pastor Jan offered up Stella's service, and I was blessed to offer up Butch's. And Butch was a lifelong member of Holy Ghost, 86 years young. Goodness gracious, he acted every bit of 17 sometimes, I got to tell you, like a kid. But he was an educator by profession. 46 years, a teaching career, and he was quite the encourager. person who had come alongside, there's that phrase, come alongside others who needed. Yeah. You know, I think if I could give him a different middle name, it would be Encourager. You see, after he retired, he continued to invest in kids. Many kids that were in that at-risk category. And in one particular instance, he coached five students who absolutely could not pass the STAR test. And yet after working with Butch, they not only passed, but passed with flying colors, commended. Butch would tell his students on the first day that he got together with them, he would talk to them about that old Chevrolet commercial. You know the one, the heartbeat of America? Yeah, but he put a spin on it, and he'd say, you want to see the heartbeat of America? You don't have to go to Chevrolet. They're right here. And I believe, just like my grandson Graham, I believe those students in those desks kind of straightened up a bit with a sense of affirmation. See, encouragement. Encouragement is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing individually. It's also a contagious thing. And passed on and received it to ourselves, it can add up. It adds up a whole lot quicker than any of us can imagine. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I think I ought to try it sometimes. But if you take a single penny, one single cent, all right, and if you double it every single day for 30 days, well, I don't know if you know how much that would come up to. Well, if you double it for a week, it comes up to 64 cents, all right? Well, no big deal. No, that's kind of a big deal, exponential. Yeah, 64 cents. Two weeks, it comes to $82. Not too shabby, huh? Into 3 weeks, doubling a penny every day, $10,485. At the end of 30 days, doubling a penny every single day, over $5.3 million. You don't believe me? Google it. Yeah. Even a little bit of an investment put into discouraged hearts is not so little. It's like gold, and it pays dividends. Even a small bit of encouragement multiplied over time adds to a person's value. I had a brief conversation with the Holy Ghost this past week, and we were talking about this very subject. In the middle of our conversation, he said, I need to be more aware of giving my wife compliments for all that she does for me. Encourage one another, as you have been doing. Come alongside those who need to be poured into. There's a story told about a Veterans Day event. And at the close of that particular event, people were invited to offer applause. Offer applause. Put your hands together and offer applause. Well, people were doing that, and it was quite a celebration. But as people were putting their hands together, there was this one particular World War II and Korean conflict veteran. He had a Purple Heart. He had lost an arm in the Korean conflict. He too applauded. He applauded like this. He tapped on his chest. Yeah, he was celebrating as well. But as the clapping, as the applause was extended, there was a Vietnam vet who walked over and came alongside of the one-armed man. He went shoulder to shoulder with him. As they went shoulder to shoulder, they each reached out a hand and brought it together, and with the two hands, they clapped together. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Come alongside those who need to be poured into as God has poured into us. You know, God is our ultimate encourager. And he came alongside of us in the person of Jesus. He did that on the cross. He did that in the resurrection. And today our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes alongside of us again in Holy Communion. In his body shed and his blood shed and his body broken. He does that for our forgiveness, for our encouragement, for peace and power. That we may not just be come alongside of, but that we may also come alongside others in this ministry.